Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
All right. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up. I have you stand up just to get the grumpy out. Some of you are like, I don't want to stand up. So I want to prepare us to receive the word, because I believe the Lord wants us to address something. Matter of fact, today's sermon title, and I don't always give titles, but I believe the Lord wants us to attack anxiety today. I believe we need to wah! Matter of fact, everybody say, hiya! Those at home who are watching and you didn't do it, I want you to look around at home and say, hiya! So we are going to, by the grace of God, attack anxiety today. We're going to whoop it, show you how to overcome it, because it's not God's will that you live with anxiety defeating your life. And so in order to prepare, we need to prepare our hearts. So just however you want to do it, but open your hands, open your heart before the Lord, and let's just pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are good. And your mercy endures forever, God. And you are the Lord, and there is no other, God. No other name that is higher. There's no other name given among men which by we must be saved. You are Lord. You reign, God. You reign. And we bless you this morning, and we honor you this morning. And we begin our week by declaring that you are holy, and you are righteous, and we are the redeemed of the Lord. That we've been purchased by the blood of Jesus, that we've been adopted into the family of God, that we have been made righteous by faith, and that we are not who we used to be, that you have changed us and you are changing us. You have redeemed us and saved us, God, and we thank you that you are at work through every trial, through every struggle, through every good day and bad day, mountaintop or valley. You are our shepherd, and we shall not lack. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit. And we thank you that we gather as your family. We all have the same Heavenly Father. And we gather this morning ready to receive your word. So we open our hearts, we open our minds, and we ask for you to help us receive your word, not as the word of men, but the word of God, that you would transform us and walk us into victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, you can be seated. We're going to attack anxiety. So look with me in Proverbs chapter 12, and let's just look at this, starting at verse 25, Proverbs 12, 25. I'm going to give you a second to get there, either on your app or the Bible in your lap or however it works for you. And if anybody needs, would like a physical Bible, I think there's some right back here by these doors. I'm telling you, it's great to have a phone and all that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. I want you to be in the Word. I don't care how you get the Word. I want you to get the Word. But if you would like a Bible in your lap, there's some back here by the baskets. Just go ahead and get one. And if you don't have one, you want to take one home, go ahead and do it. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 12, we're just going to look. Man, there's a lot of good stuff as I'm glancing through here. Y'all ever do that? You go to start looking at one verse, and all of a sudden the other ones start popping out. Maybe it's just me. Verse 25, Proverbs 12, 25. When you got it, say got it. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. So I'm not saying, and the word of God is not saying, anxiety is the only cause of depression. There might be multiple causes of it, but anxiety is the cause, a cause of depression. So if you are having anxiety, it's trying to create depression. If you have depression, one of the causes could be anxiety. Anxiety, by definition, is this. Anxiety means a heaviness, a weariness, a heaviness or a weariness, a worry, fear, or sorrow. And y'all have heard about fear. We know, we've talked many times about fear, and I love the acronym, you know, false evidence appearing real. And we put a lot of faith in fear instead of faith in God. And we begin to worry about things. And it takes the same amount of focus, the same amount of effort, the same amount of attention, the same amount of energy to worry and to walk in fear as it does to walk in faith. But your Bible says, and I know, I mean, you got to know this, your Bible says that the just or the righteous shall live by faith, not fear. We walk by faith because everything in the kingdom of God operates by grace through faith. And so faith gives us access to grace, and grace gives us the ability to walk in the life God planned for us. No matter what kind of circumstances you face. You've heard me say this many times, hopefully. If this is the first time you've ever heard me say this, somebody's not been listening. That immature people want God to change their circumstances. But mature people want God to change them. Because then, through the grace of God, you can begin to change circumstances. And so anxiety, this heaviness, this weariness, this, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews that we need to cast off the weight and the sin that so easily entangles us. We get so easily entangled in weights, heaviness, and weariness, which I believe then wears us out in carrying this burden that we shouldn't be carrying and makes us susceptible to, Pastor John just said susceptible. I probably didn't say it right. Too many syllables in that, did I? I don't know. Anyways, I was impressed with that. But the reality is that it makes us vulnerable. Oh, man. I'm edumacated. So to where we're vulnerable to sin. So if the enemy can't take you out, he'll wear you out. If he can't take you out, he'll wear you out. And anxiety, worry, fear, heaviness, weariness is the culprit that actually causes depression. And depression is like when you sat in your seat, to the seat, you were the weight that brought a depression. It depressed. Some of you, it depressed a whole lot. Some of you depressed just a little bit. But the reality is when something is depressed, it's a weight sitting on it, and it causes a depression. And so in your life, when weight comes and anxiety comes, it forms this weariness and heaviness that causes a depression in you. It causes your hope to be depressed. It causes your joy to be depressed. It causes things to depress. Instead of walking and being the head, you end up feeling more like the tail. Instead of walking being above, you feel like you're beneath. And you've heard me maybe say this before, that I heard a preacher one time talking to a man. And he said, "Well, how are you doing, sir?" And the guy said, "Under these circumstances, I'm doing pretty well." And the preacher said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. We're never supposed to be under circumstances. We're always above." And you might be going through some stuff, and you might have stuff attacking you. You might be in a season of attack or suffering or struggle. It might be a famine in the circumstances in your life or some real difficult hardships in your life. But that's not you. If you know the Lord and you're a disciple of Christ, then the reality is you are above, you're not beneath. You're the head, not the tail. So as you deal with how do you navigate these circumstances, you're always looking down on it. You're always looking from a higher perspective. And we got to make sure that we take responsibility to attack anxiety with the weapons of our warfare that Christ has given us. and not forget who He is and not forget who we are. Have you ever had your circumstances smack you right in the face to where you actually forget that He is Lord and He's above all and that you are called by His name? See, whatever happens in your life that makes you forget who He is and makes you forget who you are in Him, then you're set up for failure. And that's where anxiety will get a foothold in you. So this anxiety will cause this weariness and this sorrow and will bring about depression. Now, this word depression means to bow down. It means to crouch. This word is actually used in more positive terms in the Bible, in other verses, as a form of worship. So what happens with anxiety and worry, it will cause you to worship something ungodly through fear. And you will bow down and worship this thing that you fear the most. And your worship to darkness, your worship, that depression, when you begin to bow down and you begin to crouch down, and matter of fact, the definition of the word is to fall flat on your face. To fall flat on your face, flat to the ground, which is the same picture of what worship is, what worship looks like. But what happens with anxiety is it causes you to bow in depression. The anxiety causes depression and causes you to worship what you worry about. And it depresses you to where now you become powerless. You become powerless. And so this depression is you bowing down to fall down and to worship. And look in your Bible real quick in Isaiah 51. Make a right to Isaiah 51. But see, it says, you know, anxiety causes depression, but a good word makes the heart glad. A good word. And that word good speaks to something that is beautiful, something that is better, something that is best, something that is cheerful. So it's the best word. It's the best thing. It's not just better, it's best. And the word of God, see, a good word, anxiety causes depression, but a good word makes the heart glad. So when you're feeling anxiety trying to get its grip on you, and you're feeling depression weighing you down or wearying you out, we've got to take responsibility to attack anxiety by the good word of God. By coming in and getting a good word. Anxiety will get a grip on you. Depression will get over you and upon you by listening and focusing on the wrong word. And then you start going down that rabbit hole of this wrong word, and you just keep expecting more darkness and more stuff instead of saying, I'm not ignoring this difficult reality. I have a difficult reality that I'm facing. I'm not ignoring this difficult, the reality of this emotion that is a painful emotion that I'm feeling. I get it. I'm angry. I'm sad. I'm hurt. I'm whatever. That emotion is real. But what's higher than that emotion is the righteousness of God inside of me. Is the peace of the Lord that's inside of me. Is the joy of the Lord that's inside of me. Christ lives in me, and He's in me, and He's inside of me. So I have something higher than and better than the lower reality that I'm experiencing. See, faith does not ignore the lower reality. It just whoops it. Faith does not ignore the difficulty that you're going through. But don't let your difficulty that you're going through cause you to ignore faith. Remember who He is. Remember who you are. I need a good word. I need a good word. So anytime you're, the first thing I want you to get is when you're facing anxiety and it's leading you into depression, or you find yourself just weighted down and overwhelmed, the thing that will bring you out is focusing on the good word. On God's word. You focus on it. And what will happen is you'll start rising up. Fee, fi, fo, fum. You'll start rising up. But if you keep focusing on that negative word, you keep focusing on what you feel, you keep focusing on hopelessness, you keep focusing on all these other things that you're watching. Isn't it funny? When you start feeling depressed, you want a certain kind of music. You start watching certain kind of shows. You start doing certain kind of things that all contribute to the increase of your depression. But what needs to happen is you need to choose what's better. You need to choose what's best. Well, I don't feel like it. Well, Einstein, you ain't gonna feel like it. You're not gonna feel like it. But if you ever want to walk in the feeling of joy again, you need to get a joyful word and stand on that joyful word and let your faith create the emotion of joy in your heart. Let obedience create the emotion of love in your heart. And don't wait for your feelings to lead you. Let your faith lead your feelings. Let the higher reality dominate the lower reality. So Isaiah 51, the whole thing is good. Skip down to verse, for sake of time, look down to verse 23. This is talking about God's plan to redeem Jerusalem and redeem his people, even though they're under attack and under great assault. Verse 23, he says, But I will put into the hand of those who afflict you, who have said to you, these are the ones who afflict you, watch this, have said to you, lie down. That's that same word for depression. Watch this, lie down that we may walk over you. See, that's what the enemy is saying to you. And he'll use your circumstances to speak to you. He'll use your emotions to speak to you. And what they'll say is the ultimate thing right here, the ultimate end goal of what the enemy is trying to do is he's telling you, listen, I love how it says, he says to you, lie down. Because if you're in Christ, he can't make you lie down. The only one who can make you lie down is your shepherd. My shepherd, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Your shepherd can make you lie down so that you can end up standing in his strength. But the enemy will suggest to you, you ain't worth nothing. Look at all these circumstances. Look at all those failures you've done. You just need to go ahead and lie down. If you know how to lie down when your shepherd calls you, you'll never lie down when the enemy intimidates you. Way too many believers who say, I'm going to heaven when I die, they lie down at the face of anxiety and at the face of fear and at the face of worry. They lie down. They crouch down and begin to worship worry under the weight of fear. And even the enemy goes even one step further. He makes you feel like he disguises worry as wisdom. Like it's wise for me to worry about this. And sometimes we think we're being responsible with being wise by worrying about something. But Jesus said, you worrying doesn't add one thing to the situation. Doesn't add one thing. But your worship will. So if you really want to be wise and you really want to be responsible in the middle of difficult circumstances, stop worrying and start worshiping. The most responsible, wise thing you could do in the middle of the difficulty, in the middle of the battle, is not to worry. The most responsible thing you could do is, Lord, I cast my care upon you because I know you care for me. And you can do a better job with this than I could ever do. So I give it to you, Lord. I worship you. You've been faithful to me in the past, and you're going to be faithful to me in the present and faithful to me in the future. So, Lord, I want to be faithful to you. I want to honor you. I want to focus. Lord, help me focus on the good word. And from the position of the good word, watch this, from the position of the good word and me not lying down so the enemy can walk over me, focusing on the good word will empower me to deal with the circumstances that I need to deal with. One or two things is going to happen. The circumstances will deal with you, or you will deal with them. And if you humble yourself before the Lord and say, God, I cast my care upon you, and I start this battle by worship, and I start this stand by worship, and I'm going to attack anxiety, not with the weapons of my flesh, not with my strength, not with my ability, because that's going to do nothing but get you whooped. So, Lord, I yield myself to your strength. I yield myself to your ability, and I worship you. You're above all. You're before all. You're after all. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, God, I come before you. This might be the first time I've seen this problem, but this is not the first time you've seen this problem. So, God, I trust you, and I'm going to walk by faith, even when I don't understand, even when my emotions are crazy and all my friends are telling me the exact opposite of what you're saying. I'm going to focus on the good word, and that good word is going to strengthen me to be responsible in the middle of a difficult day. And I'm going to attack anxiety, and I'm not going to worship worry. So watch what happens as we go to the next chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah 52. Watch what happens. I like this a lot. It says, awake. Now, it's written twice to show you that he didn't say awake, awake. It's written twice because that's how the biblical writer would have put emphasis and boldness to it. So what he's declaring is he's just got done saying the enemy says to you. He makes a suggestion to you, lie down. Doesn't mean you have to. Doesn't mean you have to lie down, but he says, lie down so we can walk over you. But God's answer is this: awake! Awake, open your eyes. Wake out of sleep. Don't lie down in a slumber and let the enemy walk all over you. Awake! Awake! And look at what he says here. So good. I got so many highlights in here, I can't even, it's like a coloring book. Awake, watch this. Look at the responsibility. This is not, God, help me. God, you do something. This is the people of God, empowered by God, doing something. Yielded to God, not trying to do something in your strength, trying to help God out, but yielding yourself to his strength, following the leading of his spirit. And he says, awake, and it's like, I awake. And then watch this. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your strength. And so let me just read this, and then I'll talk about it. Let me read it, and then I'll talk about it. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. Arise, sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose yourself from the bonds around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. So Zion, anytime you see Zion in the Bible, it always prophetically and symbolically is speaking about the church of the living God, the New Testament, New Covenant church made up of Jews and Gentiles who come to believe in Jesus Christ, the church of the living God. That's what Zion is. Zion is the church of the living God. It's not just a city that David lived in. It symbolically and prophetically speaks to the people of God, called by his name, whose Savior and King and Lord is Jesus Christ. So what he's saying prophetically to Zion, he's saying, awake, church, awake. Come out of your sleep. Come out of your slumber. Put on your strength. Put on your strength. And then he says, and put on these beautiful garments. I love this, put on these beautiful garments. Because in Isaiah, if you go a few, and don't turn there, but you go a few chapters forward in Isaiah 61, what he talks about through the Spirit of the Lord and prophetically about the life of Jesus, he quotes this Isaiah 61 is this prophetic picture of the life of Jesus and the mission and ministry of Jesus, where he says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He has anointed me to do all this amazing stuff. And it goes down of what the Lord has anointed him to do. And if he's our Lord, then his anointing flows down through us. And if he's anointed to do it, he anoints us to do it. And one of the things he says as a result of the empowerment, the anointing, which simply means supernatural empowerment, the anointing of God, one of the results of that is that that you put on garments of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Now, see, you might not understand garments, like, why I got to put on my dance clothes? Why I got to put on, like, I remember back in the day when I used to get my dance on. Any of y'all used to get your dance on back in the day? Y'all don't know nothing about this. Patent leather shoes, MC Hammer pants. Can't touch this. Yep. You should get my dance on. Rocked middle school. Rocked it out. It's amazing. Got my dance on to celebrate. And the truth, moonwalk, y'all don't know, I'm telling you what. I'd do it, but the Spirit of God would just fall in this place. It'd be amazing. So dancing and celebrating. Sometimes with sin, we give dance and music and all this stuff to sin. But when he talks about put on the garments of praise, he's not just saying put on your dance clothes like we would say it, but it actually goes back to Exodus where the God told Moses to make these priestly garments. He told him to make these priestly garments that the people, the priests, would wear these garments as special garments that they would wear to come minister before the Lord. And they would celebrate and they would sing and they would dance and they would declare the goodness of God and they would worship him with these garments of ministry, that they would anoint these garments with oil. And the garments were specifically dedicated to minister before the Lord. And they saw that as this amazing thing. So when it says, put on the garments of praise, what he's saying basically is this: remember that you're a minister. Remember that you're a worship leader in heaven. Remember that even though you can't sing, your song is valuable. Your song is powerful. If it's sung by faith, and even if you can sing and you're a beautiful singer, your ability to sing is less powerful than your faith. And so the church has been filled with people who can sing beautifully but don't have any faith. And I'm not saying start putting me up there with a microphone. But it's your song empowered by faith. It's your song that's a ministry to the Lord. And what he's saying is put on your strength. Awake, put on your strength. What he's saying, put on these garments of praise. What he's saying, remember, is you're created to be a minister. You're created to be a priest. And you're like me, no, I'm not a priest. I just attend church. That's your problem. That's why you're getting whooped all week. Because you don't know who he is. You don't know what he's called you to be. You're not a church attender. You're a disciple of Christ. The anointed one lives inside of you. You can live above your circumstances if you choose to. You can put on your ministry garments, your garments of praise, so that when you begin to worship God, whether it's on stage or whether it's, matter of fact, hey, do me a favor real quick. One of y'all, put a chair up here. I want to show y'all something. I'm going to get to it. Just put a chair up on stage. I want to show you something in a second. No matter where you are, no matter what's going on, you put on your garments of praise and you begin to worship the Lord and bless the Lord. Because what happens is there'll be an exchange. He'll give you garments of praise. He'll give you garments of praise. Notice he didn't say, notice in Isaiah 61, and I know we're not looking at that, but I gotta get this one through, that he didn't say, I'll take your heaviness and give you garments of praise. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? Lord, I'll praise you if you take this heaviness. Lord, I'll praise you if you take this sin. Lord, I'll praise you if you do this and if you do that. That's not how the kingdom of God operates. What he says is, I'll give you a spirit, I'll give you the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So you have to be willing to come, let go of your heaviness by starting to praise. I come into his gates with thanksgiving, and I enter his courts with praise. Lord, you're worthy. Well, Pastor John, I'm not comfortable praising. Well, you better crucify yourself and get comfortable with it. Well, that's not what we used to do in our old church. Well, it might be a reason why you're not there anymore. My family, we weren't raised this way. Are you going to let your experiences lead you, or are you going to let the Word of God lead you? See, I brought this chair up here because I love props. And this is a church chair. I get it. It's a church chair, sitting up in church. We all come and we sit in church. But I want you to understand, I don't care what chair you're sitting in or where you're sitting. It could be your office chair. It could be your couch at home. It could be driving in your car, or some of y'all, however it is that you drive. It could be, or however it is you drive. But whatever chair you sit in, you could be the owner sitting in the big chair, or you could be the person at the lowest end of the job. I don't care what chair you sit in. It doesn't matter what chair you sit in. You determine the value of that chair. You determine the value of the chair. And when you determine the value of the chair you're sitting in now, it will help you determine the value of every chair you sit in through the week. You're a minister of God. Might not be a very good one, but you're a minister of God. You're a disciple of Christ, and you can get better. And anxiety is trying to whoop you, but you can attack it, and you can whoop it. By choosing, say, God, I'm going to praise. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to praise you. I'm going to come to this exchange program for taking the garment of praise that you've given me, for me to honor you and bless you and thank you that your mercy is good and your loving kindness is better than life, and Lord, that you are faithful and you are true, and just praising God and blessing God. I'm going to live with this reality. So, like, I remember I used to be a branch manager at this one company, and I remember I'd go into work, and this is what I would do. I can't believe I'm gonna share this with you, but this is what I would do. I'd always do weird stuff so that I wouldn't look weird. It'll make sense in a moment. Like, remember I told you before, sometimes when I'm walking around and I'm praying, I have my phone up, and it looks like I'm talking so that people don't think I'm talking to myself. It's weird, but it helps me not to look weird. Okay? So when I used to work in this place, I would, and from Sergeant Booth taught me this years ago about bowing at a chair. And so what would happen in my office is I'd put a pen down on the ground just so I could honestly say I'm not lying. I'd put a pen down and I'd get under, and I'd be sitting there praying. I'd pray over the employees that I wanted to fire. I'd pray over the customers that I couldn't understand. I'd start praying over, and Lord, thank you that you've put me in this chair. And God, I worship you. I don't worship this chair. A lot of people want this chair, but I don't worship this chair. God, I worship you. You sit on the throne. I worship you, and I bow in a heart of worship. And sometimes I'd hear the door open and somebody walk in, and this is exactly what I would do. Oh, there it is. And they say, what are you doing? I'm like, I dropped a pen. I'm not weird. You know, and I bet for a while they're like, you drop a lot of pens, man. You need some, like, glue or something to stick them or put a rope around it or something. And so I don't, no matter what chair you sit in, you need to learn how to worship. Even in this place, even in this house, as we worship here in a few minutes, as we worship the Lord, that'd be beautiful for you to turn around and just bow down and just begin to worship the Lord. And just begin to let your heart, let this become an altar. Let this chair become an altar. God, I give you the sacrifice of praise. And I praise you, God. My emotions are running crazy. My body hurts. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, God. I'm struggling. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm surrounded. A worry is rising up in me. I feel like the enemy is attacking me. I've got heaviness on me. I've got weariness on me. I wish somebody would do something about my heaviness and my weariness. Oh, wait. That person is me. So, Lord, I bow and I just thank you, God, and I worship you. See, you're not changing your circumstances, but you're being changed. So that when you come up and you begin to see, and it doesn't matter if the song, it doesn't matter if the song is hype or if the song is slow. Because it's not about the song. It's about the one who the song is to. So sometimes we get our emotions, we need a certain kind of song to get a certain kind of response. And I'm telling you, I love upbeat stuff. I love shouting. I love all that kind of stuff. We don't need to be, there's a time to do that. But the Lord is no less more powerful and valuable if the music is very soft or if there's no music. That we worship the Lord, we bless the Lord. So that no matter what chair I sit in, I have first bowed my knees to the throne, and so the throne is what inspires this seat. Because I've surrendered myself as a minister to God first. And here's what I've done. I've put on my strength. And then it goes on to say, shake that dust off. Shake that flesh off. Shake that dust off. Shake it off. Your boss says something you don't like. Shake it off. Your husband or wife says something you don't like. They offended me. Shake it off. I can't believe they're doing this. Shake it off. You can't forgive yourself because of something you did. Repent and then shake it off. Tell your neighbor, shake it off. Shake the dust off of you. And then what it says, it says, arise. So now the chair is going to have a different analogy. Now this chair is going to have a different analogy. Because your Bible says that if we are in Christ, we are right now seated in heavenly places with Christ. I know that can seem confusing, but in the book of Ephesians, it says that even though we're here and our body is here in this seat, that our spirit is actually in the heavenly places, seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm with him. I'm with Christ. Seated at the right hand of God with Christ. His identity is my identity. His authority is my authority. He's delegated it to me. And so as I walk with him and I walk in love and walk in obedience with him, there's a pure flow. See, what sin does is it dams up the flow. Sin doesn't make God mad at you. What sin does is it contaminates and dams up the flow. So I wanna shake the dust off my feet, arise. And let me just show you what that looks like. So I'm in my circumstance. I'm down here struggling. Anxiety is working on depression. And I'm like, wait a minute, but a good word makes it glad. So Father, I choose to awake. I awake. I'm not going to sleep through this one. I'm not going to lie down and let the enemy walk over me. So I awake through this one. God, I bless you and honor you and worship you. I put on my strength by putting on my praise and blessing God and honoring God and thanking God. God, I trust you. You've been faithful. You are faithful. You remain faithful. Your name is faithful and true. And so I bless you, God, and I trust you, God. Shake the dust off. Shake the stuff off so it doesn't stick on you. And then you arise. By faith, you arise to a different level. You arise to a different level. You remember where you sit. Because it says arise and then sit. So your choice is, when you're facing circumstances and emotions that are leading you to anxiety, that's bringing you into depression, your choice is lay down underneath the weight of that depression and worship it. Or do everything that the Bible just said and arise to a higher level above it and sit. And then you get it, I'm not even going to turn there to read it, but you get in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for no thing. But in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen. So whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things of virtue or purity, and I can't remember the whole list. I'm not that good. But it's in your Bible, Philippians chapter 4. Whatever are these heavenly things, whatever, set your mind on things above. And it says, meditate on these things. Meditate on. What that means is consider them. What it means is not just to consider them, but the definition of that word actually goes to the point of saying things like this, that consider it as the bottom line. Consider it to be your reality. And it's a really cool Greek word. I can't pronounce it, but we get the word logic from it. It's like logo something, something, whatever. It's logo my ego or something like that is the Greek word. But we get the word logic from it. So what that means is now, see, when I come up to this level, praise and worship helps me to, thanksgiving helps me to enter his gates. Praise helps me to enter his courts to remind me that I'm seated at the right hand of the Son of God with Christ. So even though I'm down there, I'm right here. And so that reality is trumped by this reality. That reality is temporary. This reality is eternal. So I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God that I can have this reality in the middle of that reality. And I attack the reality of anxiety from the reality of the throne of God. Because what's true about me is here, not there. Who I am is here, not what I'm going through. What gave the men and women of old, when they're facing death for their faith in Christ, what gave them the power and the courage to face lions who would eat them or all the different kinds of, what gave them the courage? Because they knew and they realized that this reality on earth is temporary. And they lived from above. They lived from above. Even in the face of death, they lived from above. And they attacked anxiety by the reality of God's presence. Worship team, I want you to go ahead and come on up. As we worship today, I want you to attack anxiety. If you don't mind, would you get that chair? Thanks. As we worship today, I want you to attack anxiety. I want you to humble yourself. I don't care if that means you begin to kneel at your seat. I don't want you to do a certain kind of action. I don't want you to do a certain kind of behavior to just do the behavior. I'm not after that. But I'm telling you, whether you come to the altar and kneel, whether you come to your seat, make your seat an altar, I would be thrilled if you laid out on the floor. And if you might get stepped on, but praise the Lord. You lay on the floor. It doesn't matter. I want you worshiping God. I don't want to be one of those churches where people seek attention and they start doing certain behaviors to try to be seen by men. I don't want any part of that. But what I want you to do is I want you to give all of your attention to God. And I want you to bless His holy name. And if there's things in your life that you need to repent of, if there's things that you need to just deal with and handle, begin to start from a place of awake. Awake. Don't just sleep through worship. Awake. Awake. Put on your strength. Begin to declare our God reigns. I don't feel it, Pastor John, and you never will until you start declaring it by faith. And when you declare it by faith, the joy of the Lord begins to overflow in your spirit and reigns in your emotions. And by faith, you're blessing the Lord. This is not about hype. This is actually about holiness, purity before God. I worship you for who you are, and my circumstances will not move me. Even though everything's changing here, nothing is changing here. And I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to bless you, Lord, and I'm going to honor you, Lord. And I want the prayer team to go ahead and come on up. We have a team of people here. You guys go ahead and come on up. Who will be here to pray for you. If you've never given your life to Christ, meaning if you were to end your life, if your life was taken right now, your last heartbeat, if you don't know that you'd be in heaven, you need to come tell one of them. If you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus and stop doing your own stuff and stop following your own way and stop trusting in yourself and put your faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and you're ready to stop running and stop and start submitting to Him and say, Lord, I want to surrender to You. You come and just tell one of them, I want to give my life to Jesus. If you've been away from God for a long time and you know you've been playing too many games and you know God is calling you, you feel that pull inside of you and He's inviting you to give your life back to Him, then come say, listen, I just want to give my life back to Jesus. If you're here and you just need prayer for any reason whatsoever, you need prayer, then come. Come to say, hey, I need prayer. You know, let them pray over you. And if you want to come to the altar and just kneel and worship, if you want to make your chair an altar, do whatever you need to do. But let this be a time of ministry to the Lord. And if you have someone highlighted to you, maybe somebody is brought to your mind or somebody that you might not even know highlighted to you, go pray for them. And if somebody comes to pray for you and they're really just trying to pick up your number, please tell security. Like, I want to pray for you, but first I need them digits. Call security, and we'll handle it. We'll tase them back into the kingdom. But if you have something for somebody, go minister. Let this be a time of ministry. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we give you thanks, we give you praise. And we will attack anxiety with the power that you've given us to loose ourselves from the bonds that are holding us captive, to loose ourselves from the anointing and power of the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus, that by your finished work on Calvary, that we will worship you and give you praise and take authority over the things that are trying to take authority over us. And we humble ourselves before you, God, and we come to worship you. We come to worship the one who sits on the throne. We come to worship the Lamb of God and the Lion of Judah. We come to worship you, God. We come to lift up our praise to say you are the center, God, to bless you and to honor you and to empty ourselves before you. Be enthroned on the praises of your people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord. If you need prayer, come.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.